Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Fantastic Females. Today we've got an interesting guest on a very different topic. We've got Dipti here. She's a really close friend. We've grown close over the past few years. We've always happened to have these open and authentic conversations. We've been able to be vulnerable in terms of life situations, and that kind of has deepened our friendship. And we have her here from the perspective of being a mom to a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old, and she's got so much insight for all the mums and dads out there.
Thank you so much for having me here, Rupali and Kalyani. I agree with you. I really enjoy having a mindset. At the stage I'm in my life, I enjoy having mindset-related conversations. So this is very relevant for my parenting journey, and I'm grateful to be here. So thank you.
Maybe today, Diti, we'll see how the conversation goes. But we can talk about a few parenting situations that come up.
Yeah.
And you are a few years senior to me. and Rupali is going to contribute with her own experiences. And we can all learn together. Right?
Yeah.
So we can talk about some situations that come up, some sticky situations or not. And learn about how you think about it or how you rephrase them. Because in the moment, sometimes it's hard to come up with the right words. And I find myself second guessing from the eye of the Instagram influencer, parenting influencer, what they would put in a nice carousel. But yeah. the words don't come to me in a toy shop when they need to come.
You know, this just reminds me, like, I do a lot of things, not just related to money or finance, but
yeah.
I'll go back to my child and say, oh, by the way, you know, like, I won't tell her I saw it on an Instagram video,
yeah.
but I do go correct myself.
Nice.
I'm like, by the way, I've changed my mind on this.
That's amazing.
You know, she's like, oh, okay, I don't even care at this point because I don't remember what you're talking about. But if it's something important, of course she would. I go back and correct myself if I need to, if I've changed my viewpoint. Totally.
I think that's really big, right?
So refreshing, because when we grew up, our parents would not have the presence or the awareness to later pick up on something and correct it verbally to the child. Maybe the reason is twofold. One, because they were just on a go
yeah.
mindset. They weren't as present mentally.
Yeah.
They weren't as aware. I think the exposure we have
priorities
today to resources, all of
yes.
that is different. So that's from that angle too. But it's just so refreshing to know that, for a child to know that actually the parent is
just
okay
giving a thought. Yeah.
to say that it's, I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
It's not wrong or right. I've changed my mind.
Yeah. I emphasize the whole growing part anyway to her, that the first time I'm parenting like this child of this age, and I'm growing with you as well. So Viraj will have some benefits. So she gets it, definitely.
That's good to point out as well, because I am the elder child, and
okay.
I always felt a little bitter about my brother, younger brother, getting it easy, having it easier. But I think if I had set my expectations that that is going to be the case, the knowledge helps a little, or just also knowing that there are benefits to it.
I think for her, she likes the fact that I openly talk to her and give her so much importance.
Yeah.
You know, so that attention that she's getting is different from what my little one is getting.
Yeah.
So, in fact, there
You're
are pluses.
Experimenting together.
Yeah. There are big pluses to her being the older one.
Right.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good to remember. Also, because I'm expecting a younger one now. And a lot of it, I've got a lot of anxiety about not making my son feel left out or insecure. I don't think he's feeling any of that.
Yeah,
so
probably.
I'm projecting a lot of that maybe from when I was, I suddenly became the bigger sister.
True.
And everything was about, oh, but you should know better. But you're the elder one. And I've banned everyone from saying this one sentence ever to my son. He is still a child, right? He can't be expected to suddenly grow by 10 years because we're having another baby.
Because everyone wouldn't realize.
No.
And, you know, of course, Abhiram will, you know, should probably get double the attention. If you're gushing on the little one, probably...
That's it, yeah. Yeah. So we've hired extra help and everything else.
But you're so conscious of it, so that makes a difference. I think that when parents are more in kind of, I'd like to say, survival mode in inverted commas,
yes,
then it's more about just getting on with things.
Yeah.
And an easy answer is, you should know better.
Yeah.
And then move on from it versus making that half an hour, spending the time, having that conversation,
yeah,
about the situation.
Exactly.
I think like you said, that survival mindset of our parents or the previous generation, I think, but thanks to them, because of their survival mindset, I think we are where we are.
Exactly.
And so we have that luxury to say, no, you don't need to figure it out. I'm here thanks to, you know, so and so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I think you already know, like...
No, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I think you pretty much solved it, that, you know, what to look out for.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, but I'm going to come to some other sticky situations, which I have found challenging already. So we talk a lot about abundance mindset, right?
Yeah.
And talking about it in a very physical manner, let's say, a lot of it comes down to spending. And a few years ago, I was in this bubble, let's say, of the more you spend, the more you earn.
Yeah.
I see the folly of that now.
Okay.
But, but that's where I was. And my son was younger. Also, this coincided with COVID, where a lot of, I think our toy storage went literally from like 10 toys to maybe a 70 odd toys.
Yeah.
And that's because you kind of felt bad for yourselves, felt bad for the kids. You were literally holed up. We were in an apartment then.
Absolutely.
And I found it really hard to rein in or be frank and say, this is too expensive. I don't want to get it.
I think for that time, it seemed like that made sense, you know, and I think that's the whole idea of, like you said, you learn, you know, from spending a lot.
Yeah.
That the more you spend, the more you earn. It's not perfect.
No.
And I think that whole journey itself is where you're learning on the go as well. That's how at least I see it, because I try to, at least now, it's been 14 years since I've been a parent.
Yeah.
I don't think I can go back and say right or wrong. Because I did do that in the beginning, but I reached a point where I'm like, I've made a lot of mistakes, but then it's more like I could have bought her this, I could have done this, I could have, and then I'm like, there's no limit because my perspective every day changes.
Exactly.
Depending on the mood and the energy and whatever.
True.
So suddenly on a random day, I'll have a flash of like, oh, I'm so glad I did this for her and I'm so glad I spent that.
Yeah.
So I think your answers will keep coming. And I think that it's that whole parenting guilt to get it right, right?
Yes.
Like,
I think let's keep that as a cornerstone of this conversation.
Yeah.
But just help us a little bit with like what words or sentences, phrases help you instead of just finishing the conversation at it's too expensive, full stop.
If my child is like a teenager, I would say, okay, is this an impulsive buy? Let's talk about this. She's now reached a point, oftentimes she tells me in advance, I want this.
Uh-huh.
She also writes down in advance what all things she's seen, if she likes something.
Mm.
If we're in the mall or walking around and she spots something, she will ask me for it. And she'll try to convince me, and sometimes I know when she's in her entitled zone.
Yeah.
And that's when if I say no, it goes to dad. But usually my answer is never no. It's like, let's think about it. Especially when she's high energy, I go the opposite. So I go like super calm. Like,
oh, it must be so annoying for her.
That's how it balances out actually. Because if I went like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If I match that energy, it's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
It's going to be a war, right?
Yeah.
So I have to be like, I won't say no. Even though it's a no from within.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, let's talk about it. How receptive is she to the yes or the no? That's with the teenager. With Viraj, I've had, when he was younger, I've had a few episodes where it was like full on the floor tantrum.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, we let him ride it out. And
nice.
Yeah, we let him ride it out. And I think we made a promise for the future, like something else or this is, we showed him something else that this is what we want to get instead, because we really, it wasn't again about the money or expense, but it was about, I don't believe in this product.
Yeah.
I cannot spend on this. It's against my value or principle.
Yes.
And for that purpose, I think both my husband and I are aligned on that, that if we believe in something, if it's expensive, but it's value for money, like,
for it.
And I know it's creative and it's going to help the child overall in the long term, go for it.
Yeah.
And so we make that, you know, distinction. Yeah. And, but like things we don't believe in, let him cry at us, fine. We will pacify him or soothe him. Like, yeah, I think we've had a couple of instances where we said that you can have this instead.
Yeah.
Or wait for so and so time.
Yeah.
We get you this.
You have to be secure at some point, right? Like as a parent,
yeah.
That we're giving him enough to not then want to kind of just succumb to every need. And I was laughing while you were saying value for money, because I don't know if you know about the Dogman books, the series Dogman.
Yeah.
They become all the rage.
Yes.
I think they're fairly
the comics,
new. Yeah, the comic books. They are pretty low level of literature.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literature.
Yeah. I'm going to keep this this podcast PG level. So, but they're not very good, right?
Right.
But my son loves them.
Yeah.
And he will read one like in one sitting, and that's amazing quiet time that I have
sure.
been enjoying.
Sure.
And I think it's really good for him as well to be as engaged in a book. And that was the first book that he read cover to cover.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, something nice
yeah.
for whatever quality it is. I think
right.
it's managed to keep kids' attention.
Of course.
But I refuse to buy book after book, 50 dirhams each or something,
right.
And keep the whole collection. So I have resorted to borrowing them from the library.
Sure.
Which works really well.
Yeah.
So we've still got two pieces of low-level literature that we have bought. But the rest, I'm not buying.
Yeah.
So he might be reading them in an odd order, like
yeah.
not in the specified order, but that's what it is.
So you
that's
found
how
an
it
alternative.
Is. I found an alternative,
yeah.
and it just yeah. It
I
just
think
came
they're
to me.
Meant to, you know, experience everything, and also like they're meant to experience where they really want something, and even experience like demanding it. But I think we have to remember there that okay, I'm the parent, and also the kind of interaction you have with the child while you're saying no. Is it like a flat out rude get back no? Is it like no, let's work with this, or let's keep having a conversation? You know, it's letting them, because maybe it's not even about the toy. The child might be going through something else, dying. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's gonna, but there are days you're gonna give in again, like it's not gonna be perfect.
Yeah.
Like there are days
It's so interesting because I draw a parallel to like adults where we have those days where we order things online or go to the mall and just pick up
treat
things
ourselves.
For a treat and
yeah.
we that's instant gratification, and they're actually also just doing the same at times. So like you rightfully said, I think it's so nice to think about it in that holistic way versus just no, she's so entitled. No, he's so this.
No,
it's more where's that coming from and kind of going, looking forward, not so much, but we got you these 10 things in the past 5, whatever. Why this? So you're not kind of looking backward, you're looking forward, you're understanding and you aiding that person to make decisions for themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's quite
empathy,
nice.
Like you have to have that, and the child, once they sense you have that empathy, they also back off and relax a bit.
Yeah.
Of course, older.
Yeah.
There are days I've given in when Viraj wanted something on you know at the airport, like he wanted the Spider-Man or something. I said okay, but it's useful or whatever, just get it. There are days I give in because I'm tired as well, and it's not going to be perfect. But the child sees that okay, the parent is reasonable. They're not always yes, they're not always no.
So
they
definitely.
Also don't assume a lot.
Definitely.
Which is what I want.
Yeah.
We actually had the opposite problem for some time, and maybe we're still getting out of it. In terms of my son, I think he's quite sensitive, or maybe we're too strict, I don't know. But sometimes we find that even if he's with close family who want to buy him something and they don't know what that would be, so they take him to a toy shop, which is somewhere you'd expect him to be super excited and be a child and literally like, you know, demand, want, communicate, express, be grateful and leave, right? With our permission, with our knowing. But we found that he wasn't able to ask for anything. I will need to check again what happens now. But he would like almost justify, apologize. Oh, they bought it for me. Or not make eye contact when telling us that some like close uncle bought him something. And then we've had to then reinforce saying, Abhiram, it's okay. Your family loves you. And this is one way of showing love. So they wanted to buy stuff. And that's absolutely fine. Just say thank you and that's enough. So we don't know now where that came from. I don't know if it's the Indian mentality of wanting to not take.
That reminds me of when I was young and I would be told, don't say yes. It's like, it's not nice to say yes when someone wants to give you something.
Yeah.
Or there's always that when someone's giving you money, you're like, oh, no. And then you're like, no. You know, there's that back and forth interaction, which is a little bit, it's a bit odd right now in this moment, but I've never thought you wouldn't have. So it's interesting
because I have a bad story about it from my childhood. So my mom used to sometimes need maybe half an hour after our school pickup time, and our bus stop would drop us near our house. So she'd tell our neighbor that the kids would be at your place just for an hour. We'd be really hungry at that time. Normally this is around 3 o'clock. And the neighbor auntie knew us really well. She lived just below our house and our apartment. And my brother and I ended up there on a hot summer's day, really hungry. And she's offering to order pizza. But
I take it now.
Yeah.
Forget the child.
Yeah. But I must be 13, 14, somewhere around that age. And my brother was five years younger. And so I was leading the conversation and we kept saying no. I kept saying no. And my brother was really hungry as well. And I knew. And I kept saying no because I didn't know how to say yes. If someone asks you, can I order you pizza? It's what you really want.
Yes.
But I didn't know how to say yes. Maybe I still don't.
Yeah, same. I think the conditioning is really strong until you catch it and then start with the small yeses and then the bigger ones.
Yeah.
So I still struggle with what to say. What do you say in the moment, Deepthi, to your child if you don't want them to buy something? Like, I give you the example of a Paw Patrol tower.
Yeah.
It was 700 dirhams. We did agree to buy it because it was for his birthday.
Yeah.
He played with it once and then said, this is the wrong tower.
Oh, no.
Because we ordered it online and he must have seen something different from at his friend's house or something. And a tower is a tower for me, not for him. So we ended up selling it for half the price. But I was a bit burnt from that experience. But I think I still don't know in the moment what to say.
For something like that, I have waited. Like, she wanted something, you know, then. And I said, no, we're going to buy it for your birthday. Same for that. And we waited. Or we waited another day, like a Rakhi or something.
Yeah.
You know, an occasion.
There's plenty to go wrong.
Find another occasion. So I feel less bad about, you know, giving in. But no, I've done that. And she really used it for years. To the point where Viraj used it as well.
Nice.
And the neighbors and everyone.
Oh, nice.
So it was, well, you know, good purchase, I would say.
Good value for money. But otherwise, you simply just say it's expensive.
No, I haven't said that. I mean, I've said, I'm trying to recollect what language I might have used.
Now, like if she wants your teenager, if she wants something else, she might want a nice bag now. I don't know what teenagers are into.
Shoes and stuff.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
I just say, I often say, okay, let's look for a sale. Because again, I want my child to not feel like she can just say and she's going to get. But then I question myself, why not? Like, why can she not
abundance
ask
mindset.
Get it?
This is it.
Exactly. So I have that conflict.
Yeah.
Again, on a good day, I'm like, when I'm feeling it, and I'm like, go for it. You know what? I know she's not bought like for the last 3-4 months, 6 months, whatever.
Yeah.
This is fine. So again, it's my own calculation, my own justification. But I do make sure for me, I think the only thing I keep in mind for her is to keep telling her that it's not always a yes or a no. Some things are okay, some are not. Make your judgment. And you're going to make mistakes while you make your judgment. That's how you build that muscle. So at least because that's how what I'm telling myself. So yeah. I tell her that as well.
Which is true.
And it's the balance, like you said earlier, between kind of not being in that lack mindset, but still not being entitled. So you want to you want yourself to be in that moment, to be in that position, but also to kind of teach that to them, right? When I'm buying stuff for my niece and my nephew, I go for it. And my brother obviously tells me off, but I'm detached from that situation. I'm like, you can say no, that's fine. You're the parent. I'm the aunt. I can come and do whatever I need to. And so I think that balance, and I think it's interesting because now that I think of it, my niece and nephew don't say no to things. They might be that little hesitation depending on who it is, but they are quite open to it. And I'm like, all right, now that I think about it, that's pretty cool, because we would get told off for saying yes to stuff that naturally came to us. Like, we'd say yes and we'd get told
and
off.
Then this happens, the pizza thing happens before you know it.
Yes, true.
Because you don't know how to say it, right?
This is one thing I've changed with my kids. I do tell them, like, if you're going somewhere and we're not there and you're under someone's care, it is okay to ask for what you want and we'll sort it out with them. If I have to balance it out with them, we'll take care of it. But the child should feel they're being taken care of in that moment. That's the whole idea. Especially when they're without them, so they feel comforted.
That's true.
Mom and dad have left us under certain care. At least in this generation, I think it's okay to go there.
And as adults, then they are able to, they have that confidence that actually we'll never be stuck or stranded anyway. We'll figure it out, right? It's no longer about the parent anymore. So that's pretty cool.
Because it takes away that scarcity that, you know, if we take something from people, we can't, you know, manage it back or, you know, balance it out somehow. Takes that money out of the equation. Something like that.
And often it's not about the money. So it's very much like about, you know, the perception of value and money.
I mean, when my son's, like, if he's going to the neighbor's house or something and they're ordering pizza, there are days we reciprocate that as well. You know, and some days we don't, and that's okay. There will be a time, and sometimes these things happen and some people are just happy to do or give. That's also okay. Where I think, because we had, again, like that luxury of our parents saying yes or no, we can go to the next level and refine that, you know, and see, okay, this didn't work. Let's come somewhere in the middle. You know what I'm saying? But if they hadn't done that, we would probably be the first generation doing it.
I know a lot of other people who are very entitled, and that's probably the other extreme as well. And I totally can't understand, relate, appreciate that mentality as well. So middle is a good place to be.
I mean, I can sense some things where, like, if you deeply want, there's a voice inside will say, I really want this. And you sense that entitlement and you're like, wait a minute. And then the other voice, balancing voice, sort of kicks in, you know, in both extremes. It's like, no, but then, you know, there's no absolute right or wrong.
But these are examples, like, you know, I know someone who will order a massive Starbucks drink every time, and she knows she's going to throw half of it.
This is annoying,
I have to say. Or if you're coming to stay at someone's house at short notice, while you're on your way to holiday, and you're mentioning that you don't have budget to accommodate a delay in flights or something, fine, that's an okay example. In this situation, personally, I would go, like, overcompensate, bend over backwards, help out in the house, whereas this person would leave, like, the towel on the floor kind of situation. I think all of this goes into abundance mindset, right? There needs to be a balance.
But I think abundance is slightly
overused as a term, right?
I mean, in this perspective, I'm just trying to see that, is it abundance or just somewhere where the person is just, like, entitled? Abundance and entitled are not the same.
Definitely not.
You know, entitled is more like, I just don't care. Abundance is like a warm feeling of there's enough for everyone, and there's always something coming.
They're very different.
And how you perceive that situation, as it kind of, someone coming to your house is also kind of, it brings up for you what you think of it, entitlement, right? So where you're like, I wouldn't do this. But that's so, because you are so used to overcompensating, because you feel sorry, or you feel like there's that you'd rather tip it the other way, the balance where I've given more than I've taken. But actually, like in life, I've also realized that that balance is so, so important where yes, you want to give more. I think it also links back to our like us being women and the feminine energy of receiving and giving versus you know, kind of being the masculine energy of earning, and the, that whole angle I feel it links to where we wouldn't be able to receive that from someone because we are so used to kind of tapping into our giving and overcompensating, so we don't come across as an issue or we're trying to justify that situation.
We've gone from like the first situation of communicating expensive or something that's out of budget to a very like into a very natural conversation about giving, receiving in society, which is such a relevant conversation. Sorry, were you saying something?
No. This is making a lot of sense. Actually, I know this is digressing a little bit maybe from how children are thinking. But then this situation, what did it bring up for you? Like you said, and she said that whole compensating vibe came up.
Yeah.
And so maybe a different perspective, she maybe is either entitled or feeling abundant.
Yeah.
Then everything will be taken care of.
Yeah.
And, but you, if you were in that situation, you would compensate.
Yeah.
So is it our conditioning coming in our way, not letting us see that person fully and what their intention is? We don't know.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And again, this is a weird one, right? Like, how do you teach your kids to receive gratefully without being entitled?
Yeah.
I suppose that's what we were talking about in the first situation.
And that links back to
And but like you're saying, there doesn't need to be one answer. It could differ from day to day, situation to situation, and it's always work in progress. So maybe
words I think like words don't mean anything. It's the energy, right, of the, how that person is approaching you, dealing with you, like my child, like when she gets, I feel like now I'm reflecting thanks to this conversation that when they receive, or I've seen kids who receive, they receive very warmly, like they're very happy without any worry, guilt or anything. Versus me, I think my generational conditioning was a bit about, oh, you know, thank you, and like you know, should we take this, like you were saying, but they don't they're not necessarily expecting or waiting. So I, as long as my child is aware that it's not about the things with this person, your relationship with this person is not about getting stuff, then I feel okay for them to keep receiving. The message shouldn't be this person gives me things, you know. As long as that is clear, then I know my child can receive. It's fine.
And it might be as a child, because you're so,
it would be.
You're so present in that situation that it becomes only about that thing, right? And if that's the case, that's fine too, because it's not about getting so stuck into, for as a child anyways, as a parent, you're learning on the go and all of that. But for the child, if the child has to think and figure out and not just be, then that's taking away from the child. Like, you're allowed to say, I want that. But you're, but the balance is what then?
The balance, as in, I guess, as I'm learning as a parent, one of the fears that would come up, and again, I would probably deal with it along the way, is that the child is not focusing and constantly thinking about getting something. Which is, again, abundance mindset will say, it's okay, ask for it.
Although abundance mindset also says, release, it'll just come, right? So you shouldn't be laser focused on it. As a dad, even being laser focused means it's lack. So,
like, they're upset if they don't get it. As long as it doesn't go there, but the expectation is getting in the way. So they're getting attached to the concept of something coming. That is my only thing. But when they receive it, please enjoy it, and you know, so again, it's a learn. It's been a learning journey, sort of like, can I take this? Can I let them have this? Or it's okay, let them feel this is love coming from someone to a thing, and it's okay.
And they see you giving and receiving too, right? So when you're receiving from an adult and you're not able to receive, that automatically translates.
I think so. I definitely struggle with that. So it's something that I need to, I have been working with. But maybe I think it comes from a place of, I don't know, just being a bit more calculative, or just like being so grateful that you want to over and above, like, you know, return it back. You want to make sure that if you receive 100, you give 200 back. That sort of mentality from our parents that I think was really drilled into us.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, I think if the foundation was pure, like, happiness and joy, then it makes sense.
Exactly.
Then someone else's perspective might say it's a calculation. It's you're matching it or something. But in the grand scheme of things, maybe in the moment you don't feel a restaurant, but if you look back, you're glad you had that exchange.
True.
And it's an emotion, like you said. So if that requirement that you've put on yourself to give back more than you've received is keeping you stuck and anxious and I've not done it, then that tells you a lot too, versus just doing it and moving on with it, basically.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I think the general rule I've applied anyways for any such situations is what feels easier. Not what feels easier to the mind, but what feels easier to the body.
Energy.
Energetic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, is this blocking me or is this releasing something?
Exactly. Yeah. And if I give that 200... in place of that 100 I've received, what expectations do I have as a result of that? It's a very deep kind of thing, but I think that the check is basically, how does it feel? Does it feel like I'm doing it because I have to, or I'm doing it because I would love to?
So this brings us to the end of part one of the podcast. Hit the subscribe button to make sure you don't miss out on part two.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.